Thank you, guys. Thank you. Good to be here. What a fun weekend we've had so far. You know, I'm just going to chime right in and just agree with Pastor. When he's talking about us in worship time, it was special. And I said it to the men. Ladies, you'd have been proud of the men yesterday. Because you ladies are trouble when you get together, man. It's just like, it's scary. Like a lady, I did a couple ladies conferences in my life. Like they invite, I'm like, why are they inviting me to do a ladies conference? But, ooh, it's spooky, man. Ladies are just, Jesus is everywhere. But you'd have been proud of the guys, wouldn't they? Yeah, you know, you caught it, Miss Lori. There were some ladies serving and helping, and they were watching the back. But to see the whole room of men loving Jesus and seeking him, and it was such a class participation. And then this morning, we just stepped right into where that was, only we had the ladies added to that. So it just, there's synergism, and it just was really, really sweet this morning. Worshiping God is, it's really a response to knowing him. So guys, knowing him is such a big deal because worship's not something you do. It's not like God needs you to tell him sweet things. Like he really does know who he is. Like he wasn't like thinking, man, I wish somebody would tell me who I am today. Moses said, who should I say sent me? He said, I am. That's pretty solid. Phew. So actually, I've always seen worship and it is our gift to God because it brings his heart pleasure because he sees his children growing in the truth of who he is. Like when we see phrases in the Bible that says his soul takes no pleasure, whatever, we always hear displeasure. When there's no pleasure, then there's displeasure. It doesn't always mean that. Sometimes it means he just can't walk in the fulfillment of heart, like a dad watching his son grow into his potential. And there's a pleasure in that. Versus when you know he has that potential and say he doesn't, you don't experience that pleasure. It doesn't mean you don't like him. It doesn't mean there's no faith. But there's a pleasure when you see something unfolding, right? So when you draw back, he can't take pleasure in you drawing back because you'll never become what you're here for. It doesn't mean he's sitting there going, oh, you got to be kidding. I mean, our view of God should really change. Yeah? Or we're just caught up with I failed or there I go again or I did it wrong again. And if you have that tendency, you'll never have intimacy with him. You'll never feel confident when you're alone talking to him and you won't get to know him. And true worship flows out of knowing him. True worship flows out of knowing him. Many worship leaders can tell you they tried to plow and stir the atmosphere to get it to happen. You don't make worship happen. Worship is the response of your heart knowing him. And if you don't know him, we just won't have that level of worship. We'll have a level of worship based on how we know him. So I'm just saying this morning for a fellow like me that travels, preaches, encourages, I was really humbled this morning when I looked around. I look around a lot. I'm not distracted. I enjoy it. I feel like God finds so much pleasure when his kids just see him clear no matter what. You could be going through something. Somebody in your life might be doing something you wish they weren't doing, but it doesn't change the beauty of who he is. So your worship and your expression to him should never change. In fact, the closer you stay here, the clearer you'll live and see this way. And things won't get muddy. So if you're living up and down, you're not seeing clear. You don't have to live up and down. You're not living for perfect circumstances. Please get that even out of your thinking. It's not about perfect circumstances. I don't even know what that is. That's like a myth. Like your ducks in a row. There's always one little ducky that just won't line up, right? I mean, it looks like quack, 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 and then it's quack, 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 like trying to get them all in a line. Your prayer life is not to get your duckies in a row. Your prayer life is to get to know him so who he is becomes relevant in your life so you actually look through his wisdom, look through his love, look through his eyes, and respond to wherever this is in him in truth. Does that make sense? Listen, it's beautiful. We did water baptism today. You saw that, right? It's beautiful. Weeping. That was, your hearts are amazing. You got me about ready to cry just thinking about your hearts. Dave and I were over here like bragging on what God's doing in your hearts. He's like, that was so beautiful. I said, oh. What they were doing, they're surrendering all. They're giving their life to him. That's water baptism, guys. Water baptism is symbolic of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So Jesus is a really big deal. Nobody comes to the Father except through him. That's why we celebrate him, his love. No matter where we were living, no matter how we were thinking, no matter what we were doing, he has shed his blood, and his blood's on the mercy seat, crying out and speaking better things than Abel's blood, which marked and judged Cain. Are you following? It's a big deal. So his blood is atoning, it's redemptive, it's restoring. His blood brings me, you and me, back into the place where God intended, apart from sin, before sin, as actually, if you look at scripture, it's as if sin never happened. That's why he tells you and me to reckon ourselves dead indeed to sin. Don't boast in your ability to commit it and call that humility. It's a lack of understanding. I don't know why we feel like we always have to say, well, brother, yeah, you know, we're always going to miss it. Why do we feel like we have to say that? Why don't we thank God that his grace in us is empowering us to live straighter than we've ever lived without us trying to accomplish that? We actually believe his power is working in our lives, and we're serious. We want change. We want to live straight. But in our own strength, we can't stay straight. Without him, it's impossible. But in the Spirit of God and in faith, all things are possible to them that believe. See, I, the Bible says in Galatians 4, it says that if you live in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So my goal is, let's preach on living in the Spirit then. What's that look like? Can I stay there? Can I live there? Or do I visit there? Or does it say to abide and remain in him? Are you with me? It's very important. What Jesus did is a big deal. When you're going into the water baptism, what you're doing is you're dying in the likeness of his death. If somebody could help me and put Romans 6, verse 1 on the board, and we'll just scroll through that. I want to look at that. And it just feels right in my heart. But what these precious people did, they got to a place and they were hearing the message and they surrendered and said, oh my goodness, this is what the cross is all about. This is why Jesus died. See, we don't want to miss that, guys. I'm not harping. I'm not complaining. I'm not correcting. I'm not being sarcastic. We've got to get away from just God taking care of us. People that only have the revelation of God doing them right, taking care of them, protecting what's dear to them, providing for them, making sure their vats and barns are full. I don't see continued joy. They're not shining as light, and the moment is moving them. You're not going to shine as a light if you're not seeking first on the wall over there, if you're not seeking first the kingdom of God. You're going to think about your own well-being, your own deficit, how you feel, what you think, and it won't be seeking first. You won't be living for his name's sake. You'll be living for your sake, and you'll go to him for your sake. And I know I talk about this stuff a lot, but it's important because it's an easy line to cross into. And all of a sudden, you don't even realize it, but for 2 days, you're feeling sorry for yourself. For 3 days, you're rubbed wrong, and you're playing it over and over again in your head, and now you don't even feel good towards a person. And now you don't even have the capacity to pray for them because you're mad at them. And if you do pray, it's because you're mad. Well, you ought to just stop praying because your prayer's dropping straight to the ground. You can pray for the rest of your life for somebody when you're offended. I'm telling you, that prayer is not going to sit in the bowls of incense and make it to the throne. You don't pray for somebody because if God changes them, your day's better. You pray for somebody because if God changes them, they'll begin to walk in what they're here for. And they'll begin to live into and grow into what he created them for and what he shed his blood for. Like, he didn't shed his blood for you to have a more convenient day. He shed his blood so he could live inside of you and love through you. I mean, we got to get away from this stuff that we get caught in, like just complaining and frustrated and kind of flipping out, especially as a body, like just freaking out over COVID, election, news stuff, conspiracies on the earth. People are freaking out right now. And I'm like, Are you serious? Like, why are we all freaking out? The gospel hasn't changed even a little bit. What are we going to do if darkness really does just come on the earth like in a twice as much as we've experienced? Because I don't think we've experienced that much. We can gather here freely. Nobody's killing us. We're not regulated. We're not underground. They're going to take our freedom. We're freaking out because they might take our freedom. Instead of enjoying your freedom. Why ain't nobody getting my Bible? Stop clutching it. Read it. Get it in you. Get it out from under your pillow. It's not spiritual. Just lay your head on it. Oh, now I have the mind of Christ. I'm sorry. Am I messing up? I'm messing up. I'm just saying, when we're reactionary, it gives us away. It means we're not rooted and grounded in the truth that we're all called to live by. And it actually expresses a statement that our motive in what we're doing and why we're in this thing needs to be strengthened and made clear. If you're, I say it every time I'm here and everywhere I go, if you're a Christian for your sake, you're in trouble. You'll never live the blessing the Bible talks about. You won't even know what joy unspeakable means. You'll go to an altar and hope you get a touch of joy. Instead of have it overflowing in your heart because you see the truth and it's good tidings of great joy. Yeah? Man, don't be reduced to, I just need a spirit of joy. It's not a spirit, it's an understanding. You good? It's good tidings of. What's the good tidings birth? Great joy. You get it? In the whole year 2020, I've heard 1,000 times over, I know it's been a tough year for all of us. I understand some people were touched by COVID. I understand some people died. I understand some people lost their jobs. I get that. But all of a sudden, just to paint that it's a tough year for all of us, I don't hear an answer in that. Like there's a place for us in the tough year to be so the same. To be so the same, because he hasn't changed. Nothing has changed in the last year about your purpose, your calling, your destiny, and why you woke up with the Spirit of God in you in the morning. Not one thing changed about his love for you and what he accomplished on the cross. People that knew Jack, we're not like, I know we don't get this. I'm not even like this. I'm not like, yeah, he went to be with Jesus. No, I'm like, oh, man, you're not ready for people to pass. You know you're going to be alive forever. You understand it, so you don't grieve without hope. But you miss people when they die. You get to know them, and you think, oh, man, I'm that way. I don't know if you're that way, but I'm not, like, depressed, bummed. It's not going to eat on me today. There's a side that says, wow, he's with the Lord. That's got to be amazing. And you just know you're not going to see him again at a conference, and he's not going to come up and hug you and say some of the things he said to me in the past. So I won't have that. But he lived his life for him. There's no death in Jesus Christ. So even if we lose someone, we haven't lost. Except the temporal now that I can't see their face. Can't talk to them on a phone or text them or hear their voice. But man, I can glean from the memory and thank God for the life and keep marching on because my day hasn't come yet. And there's a finish line I want to cross. Watch, because faith says that finish line is there. Faith says there is a race. Faith says I'm not existing and I'm not surviving. Faith says I have purpose in Christ. Faith says I'm writing a legacy. Faith says I'm leaving a testimony. Faith says drawing back isn't an option. Faith says unforgiveness isn't an option. Faith says offense isn't an option. Come on, that's clear. Hi, guys. I didn't even know you were there. Just had a family reunion. This water baptism, I know you got that waiting on me. It'll stay there and it'll stay the same. That scripture is not saying, oh, here we go again. He's got me on hold for another half hour and I got to hold the same the whole time. That scripture, no matter what you're going through in your life, when you open this book, it says what it did before you were going through it. I know that sounds corny and simple to some, but that's powerful to me. This thing will never change. He's a rock. And he's higher than I. And there's no turning, and there's no shifting, and there's no shadow. What he did, and what he meant, he meant. He loves you, he wants to live in you, and he wants to shine through you in the moment, period. So take advantage of the moment. Don't get fallen apart because of the moment. Take advantage of the moment and live in your moment. Yeah? We sang a song. The worship team that was with the men's group was amazing. Them guys rocked. They were awesome. They're like, these guys rock. This morning was just, ugh. There's mornings the worship's so awesome. You feel like this sometimes. Well, no, you're Pentecostal or something. You like when the worship's like that this morning, you want to run up here. See, sometimes when the worship's like that, I don't even want to go up. I just want to sit there. Like, I just want to melt down, sit, you know, and just be in that. Sometimes I was in churches already, it was like, and I'm like, I don't even want to preach. And Pastor, he leans over and says, talk now, man, it'll be easy, get over and fly, man. And I'm thinking, I don't even want to move. I'm passing him the mic. Whoa! Ah! I can't do it. <You're> going, <"Whoa!" laughs> I don't know how you do it. He does it, though. Gee. I need prayer after preaching like that. No. Let me get back to this. Let me get on track. This water baptism thing is so powerful. And you've got to understand it. And there's a baptism here. You ought to take advantage of it if you were never baptized. If you're here this morning, I don't know how it happens in a church like this, but there's people that end up coming into a church. They've never been born again. They've never been saved, but they're at the church or with a family member. Somebody, man, if you've never been born again, look, you're coming back to the Father. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, he's going to remove every sin you ever committed. You're going to be forgiven. You're going to forgive, and you're going to step into him. He's going to come into you so you can live what you're here for, and life doesn't have to be a mystery or an experiment anymore. And all of a sudden, you're not trying to find your worth and your value and need people to say the right thing so you feel good about yourself and you can be built up just as quick, tore down. Now you're up and down and don't know whether you're coming or going, and life isn't even worth living. And that's life without knowing Jesus, and nobody can tell me it ain't. And it's a rat race, and you're always self-conscious, you're always self-focused, you're always self-centered, and you need people to do you right so you're okay, and if they don't do you right, you are not okay. So you surround yourself with people that are not okay, and you build a camp of not okay. And you all understand why you're not okay. That's life apart from Jesus. And anger's normal and justified, and frustration is common. And if anybody says you can live different, they're in denial and they ain't being real. We ought to talk to Jesus if he's offended. He shed his blood when we were as guilty as we could be. And he was perfectly right and just and righteous and innocent. Never said a word when they beat him for doing nothing wrong. Why? So you can be forgiven for doing wrong. And more than being forgiven, you can be filled with the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. You could actually be made right with the Father because through humility, you say, man, I give in. I'm going to give my life to you. Not my heart, not come in, take me to heaven when this thing's a wrap, change my destination, change my life. The Bible says unless a seed dies and falls to the ground, it abides alone. Wouldn't it be sad if you stand before God someday and find you lived your whole life in a self-centered way, and even your I love you meant I need you? And you got this canvas called your life, and you never reproduced or multiplied anything because you lived it for your sake just to get by. I wonder if you seek first the kingdom of God and die to yourself and live unto him. Because if the seed dies and falls to the ground, it'll spring up and it'll bear much fruit. And then your canvas starts getting covered and multiplied, each seed after its own kind. In the natural big oak tree, if he never bears an acorn for 100 years, that tree could live 100 years. If he never bears an acorn, All you have at the end of 100 years is an oak tree. Had potential. It was just unfruitful. Has a canvas. It's just unfruitful. Landscapes of grassy hills that it could cover, but it was just never fruitful. It never dropped a seed to the ground. But if it drops a seed to the ground, if it's fruitful and acorns start falling and blue jays, I don't know if you've ever seen blue jays, they'll fight over them things, man. They'll grab them. I don't know how they swallow them. Blue jays swallow them things. They're fighting and they're flying and fighting. And there's 100 on the ground. There's 1,000 on the tree, but they're fighting over one. They're not born again. The blue jays aren't born again. And they're flying. And all of a sudden they're fighting and he drops one. And then he don't even know where it landed. And they go, squirrel, go and bury 100 of them. Forget where 3/4 of them are. I know, because things come up in my yard all the time, in my garden. So I'm not going to tell you what I do to the squirrels. But anyway. Because I'm a holy and righteous man. I ain't telling you nothing. So, help me, Roy. But if that acorn falls and that oak starts dropping more, just one season, just one year, he starts being fruitful. All of a sudden, you can't even measure the potential of that increase because those acorns that got all spread around, they multiply because in your everyday life, in your sphere of influence, you're sowing a seed here and there. And it might not be somebody getting out of a wheelchair. It might not be some word of knowledge and powerful prophetic word, but it might be the life of Christ revealed. It might be shining the light. It might be walking in a way that they're not used to. And they asked you about it and you poured out your heart and they got convicted. And all of a sudden God took the seed you sowed and he watered it and you don't even know that's happening. And over here he's causing increase because somebody else is living that way. And all of a sudden together we make up an army and we're the body of Christ. We're walking in the light as he's in the light and we're letting our light so shine before men and they're seeing our light and they're glorifying the Father. And all of a sudden you got little oak trees shooting up on this canvas and they're growing and maturing and all of a sudden they're reaching that place of fruitfulness and they're dropping and now they're growing and they're dropping. And my goodness, in a whole bunch of years, let's just say 50, 60 years, you can't even comprehend how the mountains of grass and landscape is just absolutely covered with oak trees. Because one tree bore fruit. In this, the Father is well pleased. It's John 15. That you bear fruit and that your fruit remain. When you're a Christian to survive, when all you do is pray for the protection and well-being of your family and you live in nervousness and fear and think you're protecting your own, you're not bearing fruit. You have to trust God with your own. You have to trust God. There's a place to pray. I get that. But some people live in worry and won't call it what it is. And they're trying to use God to get through life. I'm just talking plain. Don't get mad at me. Keep smiling. Love you, Dan. So glad you're home. Preach to me, brother. See, this whole water baptism thing just lays it out. Let's look at this. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Why is he saying that question? Because the end of chapter 5, it says where sin abounded, grace did abound much more. You with me? So he says, so what should we say? Should we just keep on going ahead and living the same in sin and so grace keeps coming more? Watch what he says. Certainly not. Exclamation point. Certainly not. Now, this is what we don't tell ourselves enough. We just preach come to heaven. We just preach getting forgiven. But look at this. How shall we who died to sin live in it any longer? Every sin is committed through the root of self-centeredness. Jesus said, you die to yourself. You deny yourself. You pick up your cross and you follow me. That's a Christian. How shall we who what? Died to sin. What? Living it any longer. That's what happens in water baptism. You're going and you're dying in the likeness of his death. You're dying to sin. You're going and saying, you know what? I'm dying to me, myself, and I. I want you to come into me. I want you to teach me. Holy Spirit, I'm going to yield to you. Fill my heart with the word. And you're going to show me what life looks like in you from your perspective. Same challenges, same circumstances, same stuff all over the world. Your brothers all over the world, Peter said, are going through everything you're going through. But you're going to show me how to see that, how to respond to that, how my life can be fruitful and how that fruit can bear more fruit, can keep producing again and again and again, and the fruit remain and you be found well pleased. Certainly not. How shall you who died to sin live in it any longer? So there's a change of motive. There's a change of identity here. When he says die to sin, guys, he's not just talking about the act of sin. He's talking about the mentality, the stain, the memory, the regret. Anything that sin brought, he's talking about you dying to all that because he took your life before him and threw it in a sea that forgets. Yeah? Pastor said a true statement. He said, I'll never get God to stop loving me. I can't make God stop loving me because God's love. And Paul said, nothing shall separate me from the love of God. And he writes this whole inclusive list. And in the list, he says, present and things to come. He says, created things. He says, powers and stuff. And nothing, life, death, nothing's going to stop me or separate me from receiving the love of God. You know what's not on the list? The past isn't on the list. Why? Because when you identify through your past, it has the total ability to separate you from receiving the love of God. When you identify with the past and value yourself based on the past and let a hurt from the past stay alive, or how a loved one didn't love you, how a loved one wasn't there for you, who did and didn't do what to you. Listen, when you identify with what was 30 years ago, and now 30 years later, you're still letting that be the voice in your life and fashion you and potter you. That thing's not Lord. It's not supposed to be the potter of your life. You can't say, well, you don't know what I've been through now that Jesus went through what he went through. There's a taking off and a putting on. There's a dying to this and a living to this. Come on, scripture says that you regarding your past will separate you from receiving the love of God. You know what people do? Well, if God loved me, why'd he let that happen? And now they got a chip on their shoulder and an issue with God. So now they think they're going to walk into heaven on that day and ask the boss some questions. Oh, I've heard countless people say that. Well, I can't wait till we get to heaven. I got a few questions to ask him. Whew. Yeah, okay. Okay. See? That's anger. That's frustration. That's self-centered. That's presumption. And you're letting what happened to you decide who you are, and you're holding God accountable for what happened to you, allowing it to happen. And if he really, that's a very rational, natural wisdom of the world way of assessing things, and it never produces life. It always produces destruction. And it makes your heart hard, and it makes your eyes blind. How's that for straight? Come on, we've all been through stuff, and some has been worse than others, and some has been absolutely seeming like hell. The story's like, are you serious? You've been through that? But it doesn't benefit us to camp there. And if I go through this room and start here and we take hours to just start telling our stories, the bad and ugly. I've been through this. I've been through this. This happened to me. And we're going through. And I mean, by the time we get over here, we're already going, geez. And then we get there. And then all of a sudden we hit in here and we go, what? And then we get back here and it's like, no. Oh my goodness. I thought I heard it all till now. And it would just be that. And at the end of the, when we get to the end of the line, the only thing we'll establish is who's been through the most hell. And then you won't be able to minister to them because you can't relate to them because you ain't been in their shoes, and they won't let you relate because you don't understand. And now you're protected and defending the deception. Listen, you can't get free of your past unless you're willing to take off the identity of it. If you're not willing to take off the identity of it, if you're defending it and allowing yourself to defend the permission to be hurt, devastated, frustrated, well, then there's nobody in the world. Don't even go to counseling. You're not managing your past. You're putting it off. You're dying to it. Man, I was in a service like this talking. 10 times more intense than I am now. My face was red, veins popping. I was screaming. I was like, God, this is, in my mind, I was saying, I feel like this is too intense. No, I was thinking that the whole time. And I couldn't calm down. I was just coming. And it was just words like, boo, boo, boo. And everybody's sitting there like this. And this little girl sitting right in the second row in the middle starts wailing and crying and manifesting. She throws up all over the back of her seat and all over the floor. I don't like that. I don't like that. I've had several private meetings with the Lord just asking if he would bear with me and I could find favor in his sight. And could he please not let that happen and still deliver? I just don't like it. I was in a mall, in a food court of a mall, and prayed for a Muslim lady, and she threw up. I don't like that. I'm like, sorry, ma'am. Some of you are like, come out! Oh, come out! She's 20 couple years old. You think you've been through a hard time. We all think we have a rough story. That thing is strategically designed to stereotype you, identify you, crush you, break you, and blind you. So when you hear the good news, there ain't nothing good about it because your heart's stone. You're already convinced and you already have him marked. And I'm telling you, there's lies on the earth like that. This little girl was in that trap. She was hating God. She was mad at God. You know why? She's from Guatemala. The jungles of Guatemala, that's where she's from. When she was six, she was walking her puppy through the jungle and heard screams and loud noises and ran to her village to find men with machetes and weapons surrounding her village. They had her dad in the center of a circle who was the Christian man telling people to get born again and their whole family saved. And they told him to renounce Jesus and he would not. So they executed him in front of her eyes as she hid under the bushes with her little puppy hiding and covering his mouth. Scared, silly, a six-year-old. She watched them execute dad, watched them execute mom, and 11 siblings. And then you know what they did? See, we think we have a rough story till you bump into a story rougher. And yet God is preaching through me like a madman on this topic. And that girl said, if I knew her story, I wouldn't have said a word about the past. If I had foreknowledge of her story, I wouldn't even touch the topic. And God has me preaching like intense and passionate. And she starts convulsing and throwing up. She said they took, I'm being graphic on purpose. So just bear with the story because stuff's real. They strung her dad and mom and siblings according to age on a wire in front of the village. And said, let this be known. This is what will happen to anyone that serves this Jesus. This family met this girl in her 20s. They were loving on her. She was going through a lot. She had a infirmity in her body that was really bad. And she had this history and this nightmare memory. But it caused her to hate God. Be mad at him because he allowed it. And when she heard me preaching, the Spirit of God came upon her and started to attack the deep-rooted deceptions. I would have never talked about the past if I knew her story. Guys, it was the most extreme, intense I've ever talked about the topic. I was more passionate than I've ever been in my whole life. And that girl with that story is sitting in front of me and I don't know it. That means something to me. That means God is going after a little girl to save her life from deception. And if I had foreknowledge, I'd have been scared out of my wits to even talk. And there I am like a ranting preacher, some might say. Quit your yelling. What do you got to shout for? You know, like, it's amazing how Paul says, don't be wise in your own opinion, and we seem to be full of them. Selah. She said, I'm sitting in my chair. I had girls surround her and hold her. She melted. She ate lunch with me. She sat and cried and cried and cried and hugged me. And I said, what happened to you during the service? Why did all that happen? That was a manifestation. That was a deliverance. What happened? She told me her story. I'm sitting there crying my eyes out. Fear and trembling was all over me because I'm thinking I knew how I had talked. She said, I was sitting there and God started to speak through your intensity and your words and just ripped off the lies and where I've been all these years from six to now. She said, and what happened in my heart? I said, wow, I've always said that my mom and died and my daddy died that day and 11 siblings died. And she said, I'm sitting here. I'm the only one left and alive. And all of a sudden it hit me. 11 siblings didn't die. 12 did. I've been believing a lie and my life has been living as if I'm dead. And she realized she was being deceived because she's the only one left and she needs to make the most of her life for the glory of God. And she began to cry and repent. And when she repented, that infirmity left her body, that demonic thing left her body because she just said, oops. She didn't need hands laid on her. She didn't need the powerful anointing of a gifted minister. God's just looking for repentance. God's looking for somebody to go, duh. And he went, bam. And she's sobbing and crying. And I got to spend all lunch with her. And she had good people around her, good people pouring into her. What a story. That shook me. I thought, man, the power of the past and the strategy of the devil to bind people's destinies up in yesterday so that tomorrow's always evidence of yesterday. Yeah? You got the present and things to come. Two places in the New Testament. You got the present and things to come. And then we live in yesterday and force our present and things to come to be yesterday. It's a lie. And water baptism is a powerful tool to say, you know what? I'm laying it all down. It doesn't matter who did what, who said what, who didn't do what or say what. It doesn't matter what I did at this point. My heart is not to sin. My heart is not to miss God. I'm going after you. I'm here and I'm all in. They had their all in. I said, you're all in. They said, oh, we're all in. That was so good. AJ's the best. He's like, oh, I'm all in. I said, good. Get him, Dave. Put him in there. And what you're doing is you're dying to sin. Next verse, finally. Or do you not know? See, some of us don't know. That's why he asked that. Some of us don't know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, we were baptized into his death. What is his death? We'll see. Therefore, go ahead. Therefore, we're buried with him through baptism into death that just as, man, does that sound just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Where is that? There it is. I knew it was there. See? See? Prophetic. Don't let newness of life hide in your Christianity. Don't come that far and miss that part, because that's that part is what it's all about. Newness of life. Yeah, ooh, that was good. Next verse. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, there he is talking about it again. I wonder what that is. Certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. So it's not just about dying, it's about living, guys. Knowing this, second time you better know, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin would be done away with, that we should no longer be a slave. You look up the word slave, that means bound and chained to do one's will. No longer a slave to sin, bound and chained to do its will. For he has prayed a prayer to go to heaven, has been freed from sin. For he who has gained heaven to shun hell is freed from sin. For he who didn't know if he would go to heaven if he died tonight prayed the prayer, so he's free from sin. It's amazing how we preach the gospel. For he who has been freed from sin. You know why baptism is almost forgotten in a lot of churches? It's an annual event. And we hype up the annual event. It's because we don't preach transformation. We preach going to heaven. And we almost think life is hell till heaven comes. But hey, thank God for that day. We'll just grin and bear it and try to get through it. And some people are saying, come yesterday, Lord. There's a lot of Christians praying for Jesus to come like right now because they just watched news. They're upset about the election still. Lord, it's getting darker and darker. Why don't you come? Because people aren't ready and you're supposed to be shining. And you're praying for a great escape. You're asking God to get us all out of here. You're saying to heaven with me, to hell with everybody else. I prayed the prayer, dude. I'm in. Selfish, 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 misunderstanding, deceived. It's okay, I can talk like that because I'm not talking to you. I'm kind of looking up above you. For he who has died. He who has died has been freed from sin. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. Speaking better, the blood of Jesus washes you and cleanses you. But here's the other beautiful part. When you die to self, self is the platform for every sin. So there's no sin committed apart from self-centeredness. So wonder if you get alone with Holy Spirit and He begins to teach you what selflessness looks like, and all of a sudden you live in a level of selflessness that you never experienced before, and all of a sudden the same tendencies and desires just disappear because it's not in you anymore. It's not you. It has nothing to pull on. There's no landing strip. You took away the runway. Come on, if a plane can't land, what's it going to do? Oh, it'll circle. You'll hear it. It'll still be there. It'll try to gnaw at you and draw you and tease you, but it has nowhere to land. And it doesn't just go away because it's trying to land. It has to land. And after a while, it's going to run out of gas and crash, and you'll never see it fly again. That's how it works. That's how it works. You got to take away landing strips in your life, except for the kingdom of God. Yeah? You got to die. Water baptism is a sign of death. I always joke and say, we'll make sure we'll hold you under till the bubbles stop. And then if you wait 40 extra seconds, you got them for sure. And if you bring them up, Roy, after that, that's new life. And if you don't get the, at least we know where they are. They made the right decision in the right time. So we're covered. It's all good. Just a little fun-loving joke to get a point across. You're not going in here to feel good. You're not going in here for fuzzies. You're not going in here so you can go to heaven when you die. You're going in here to die. Because in Christianity, it's the truth. In Christianity, you cannot live unless you die. If you don't die, you're going to incorporate Him into you. And there's no such thing. And unless the wineskin becomes new, it won't contain the new wine. You can't put new into something old. It'll spill and be lost. The word leak there, spilled, means wasted. He's not talking about leaking on people. He's talking about leaking through cracks. Not good. For he who had died has been freed from sin. Oh man, where's time go? Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we shall live with Him. That's beautiful. Got to believe that, church. Knowing, third time, we got to know. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, He dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. Do you understand that there's a natural death because of sin? But once you die, you're never going to die again. Once you die in water baptism, death is over for your life. Because you're never going to die. You're going to transition to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. I've been in settings in hospitals. I know pastors have seen this. I've been in places where people's faces light up. They smile. They go in it and they're like, He's here. And they see something. I had one lady, she just didn't want to fight. She was just like, and I said, no, what do you mean? I'll fight for you. I'll stay. I'm praying. I left the hospital. I'm like, come on, God. She's overwhelmed. She doesn't know what she's saying. She said, it's been so hard, and I this, and I that, and I'm just ready to go be with Him. His love is so real to me. I just want to go be with Him. And I'm like, that might not be your privilege right now, honey. Let's let that up to Him. Let's pray. Let's believe. No, no. I don't want you to pray for me to be healed. So I snuck it in. I barely made it back to York from above Harrisburg, and she was already gone. Her sister called me. I said, how did she just go that quick? She said, you wouldn't believe it. She said, I walked in the room and she's sitting there shining like an angel. I never saw my sister's face like that. She had this peace on her. She looked like she was glowing. I said, what? She said, sister, take my hand and sing my favorite song. She took her hand and said, Jesus loves me, this I know. And when she got to for the Bible tells me so, she said her grip released and she was gone. And she said her smile stayed on her bodily face. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Oh, that a Christian would never fear death again. for we rejoice in eternal life through Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You know, people that said they didn't believe in God their whole life are facing death and they're asking for a Bible. They're reading a Bible when nobody's looking. They can barely get to the remote because they're dying. Hospice is there and they ask hospice to give them a little moment. They're trying to get something on the YouTube that talks about death and the Lord and life. You can say you don't believe in God, but when you have to face death, a whole lot of people change their mind because of the fear and the bondage of death. It should be over for every Christian. Let me read this quick. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the here's the death we're buried into. The death he died, what he died to? Sin once for all. The life he lives, what's he lived to? Uh-oh, verse 11, he makes us one. Watch this. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, how clear is that? That's what you're doing in water baptism. You're going under there and saying, man, I'm dying in the legs of his death. I'm just done with sin, its stain, its memory, my past, who touched me wrong, who did what wrong to me, the molestation, the child abuse, the stuff, my dad never being there, my mom never being there, whatever. See, when you do that, you make all these things dictate and decide who you are and how you are, and you can never live free through the finished work of Christ. The finished work of Christ is saying, hey, get your eyes off all that and get your eyes on me. You have a whole different destiny. I want to come into you and you'll see everything different. The people you were despising, you'll have mercy for. The people you thought you hated, you'll care about. You need me in your life. I love you. That's what the gospel's saying. Look, I ain't never seen nobody living in unforgiveness and can tell me they're blessed and excited about their day. I ain't never seen nobody in despair, distressed, frustrated, and disgruntled that can tell me they're having the time of their life. And the saddest thing is we get succumbed to believing that's all normal. Well, it's not in him, so it doesn't have to be in you. Let me show you what the Bible says, and I'll quit. I have to quit. Oh, I have to quit. Dear Jesus, no, we are going to have parking lot disaster. No, disaster. Oh, help me, Jesus. I know that, and I'm still reading. That's not good. Verse 9, don't lie to one another of Colossians 3. Don't lie to one another. Since you put off the old man. Come on, you didn't ask Jesus into your heart. You put off the old man and his deeds. And you've put on the new man, who's renewed in knowledge according to and in agreement with the very image of the one who created you. Where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. But Christ in all, is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on. Okay, we just put off the old man and his deeds. Put on, renewed in knowledge according to the image. Now he's saying put on, so he's defining the image. Put on the image, tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Would you bear with one another and forgive one another? And if anyone has a complaint, don't call Pastor Don. Even as Christ forgave you, forgive. But above all these things, would you put on love? Because love is the bond of perfection. Man, that's good. Listen, I'm just going to ask you point blank, and it's late. I'm not asking for you if you're backslidden. If you're backslidden, you've been walking away, and you haven't been really sharp on this stuff I'm preaching, you're convicted out of your wits right now, that's good. So just say to the Lord, oops, duh, I'm home. And thanks for loving me. And thanks for giving me. You don't have to come down here and cry your eyes out, I promise you. Because sometimes you leave and you still feel bad. Just go, oops. What was I thinking? Not taking heed of these truths when these truths are the transformation of my life. But if you've never, ever, ever, ever been saved
and you've never come to Jesus and give him your life, and you've never been ever water baptized, oh, we want to hold you under. And we are so ready for you to die. No, in all seriousness, we do want to baptize you. We'll baptize you today. We'll baptize you like right away. We got clothes. It won't be inconvenient. You won't have to even drive home wet. We make it easy for you to get saved. Except for it'll cost you your life. But guess what you're giving? You're giving everything you were never created to be anyway. So why is that such a high price? Why is it such a high price to give back attitudes, mentalities, and perspectives you were never created to live by? Why is that such a high price? If you've never, ever, ever been saved, it happens in a service like this where somebody shows up and they're not born again. If you're not born again, you've never been water baptized, have courage. Don't resist the pumping of your heart or the conviction of your mind. Just get up here real quick so I can have the honor of praying with you. We will celebrate like crazy. And we will water baptize you. Pastor Dave, would you get dressed again and water baptize if they get saved? I'm having this invitation because I don't do it a whole lot in a public service like this. I know that sounds strange to people, but I don't. But I have a lot of people email me and say, I got saved in your service. But the reason I'm having the altar call, because I do believe you're here. I wouldn't be taking this time when we're already late. So don't stay in your chair. If you've never, ever, ever been saved, come on, why would you live for yourself anymore? Why would you just live for yourself anymore after a glorious truth like this where Christ wants to forgive you, wash you clean, and live inside of you and teach you how to walk and live? So I'll give you just a moment to come on up here and get born again if you've never been saved. I'm not asking for you to come, like if you've been away from the Lord and you're coming back. Do that right in your chair. Say, I'm home. I wish you'd get that real with God. I'm home. And man, burn this in me. I don't ever want to walk astray again. But I got three people in this room. Three people. I just heard the number. Three. I got three people in this room. You've never been saved. You've never, ever been born again. Would you please come here now so we can pray with you? Please, come on up here. Three people. Thank you, man. Thank you so much. Come on. Thank you, honey. I appreciate your courage. You can stay right there. You can stay right there. I'm going to give you a squeeze. I appreciate it. You've never been saved. You've never got water baptized. Wow. What's your name? Brittany. Brittany. Brandy. Brandy. Isn't this awesome? Okay, now listen. Stay right there. I got two more. Why would you hold out? Just come. I know when I hear numbers, it's crystal clear to me when I hear numbers. I was quiet and the Lord said three. I need three. Come on, please run up here quickly and join Brittany. Spring off of her. You coming? Yeah? Yeah? Dude! Who's my third person? Are you coming, ma'am? Are you coming? Come here. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. Come here, little buddy. How old are you? Eight? It's amazing. Can you imagine having an understanding and doing this at eight? Are you guys coming up? You've never been born again. I'm so proud of you. You come to support him. You come to stand with him. You've never done this. But you know what you're doing now. You guys got the message. You heard the message, didn't you? You know what you're doing? Here's what we're doing. We're saying, man, listen, I see it now. I don't want to live for me. I don't want me to be my motive. I want you to please forgive me through your blood of everything I've ever done and wash me in the blood and forgive me so I can look up to you and know I'm clean before you. And I want you to come inside of me and begin to teach me and live through me and make me the person you created me to be. Yeah? Sound like a pretty good deal? Yeah? Pretty good exchange?
We're going to pray with you. They're going to pray as a church and celebrate. You guys willing to get baptized? We got clothes, man. We'll put you right in there. It'll be easy. We'll talk to you about it. Yeah? Here's what Peter said. No, on the day of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, Peter was preaching, and the people said, men and brethren, we're cut to the heart. What do we do? He said, repent, change your mind. And right, for the remission of your sins. Or he said, and be baptized. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. So baptism was right in the message, and they took them right to water and baptized them. And all through the book of Acts, when they got saved, baptism was right in the message. Why? Because it was always about dying to live, dying to live. Yeah? So we're going to baptize, and we won't hold you under till the bubbles stop. There's no need. There's no, yeah. Dude, he said, I appreciate that. I was thinking we could send you to see Jesus a lot sooner than you expected. Oh my goodness, do you feel like happy celebration? Stretch your hands to these guys and begin to pray for them. I'm going to pray with you guys. Just come up here and face me where you can hear me. Just say this. Say, Father, I come to you today, humble and repentant, believing in Jesus, that he's the Lord, that his shed blood will wash me today and cleanse me of all my sin. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for showing me the way. Today I die to me so I can live to you. Come inside of me. Fill me with your spirit. And teach me how to love. I'm yours, and I believe you're mine. Thank you that I can be born again. Amen. Amen. Who should they go to you? Can you just go? Just go funnel them. They got clothes. We're going to baptize you. People are going to celebrate. It's going to be fun. Can you just go there? And I'll come back. I want to talk to you a bit about water baptism real quick. Right here. Are you taking them, Miss Kim? Go ahead, buddy. Just follow them. You'll be good. Your family won't leave without you. We got to go. We got to go, Pastor. It's so bad.
Hey, man, give the Lord a shout. Yeah! Come on. Come on. That's what having church is all about, man. It's about seeing people come into the kingdom, and this is what God's doing. It's the most exciting time in the history of the planet. Thanks for being with us this morning. If you're going to stay for the second service, you're more than welcome to do that. Other than that, thanks for being with us. Love all some people around you. It's just been an awesome morning to celebrate together. Go out and be Jesus to a world that needs to see what he's really like. God bless you guys. Thanks for having us.